This is The Space Show.
Hey, we're Axco!
Woo! And you're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
The Cassini spacecraft has been in orbit around the planet Saturn for more than a decade and is now 2 years from the end of its mission. One of the instruments is a plasma wave detector. This senses changes in the density of the ionized particles that pass the spacecraft. Atoms that have lost or gained electrons in a tenuous gas is called a plasma. Passing electromagnetic waves can cause changes in the density of the plasma. The changes detected by Cassini are radioed back to Earth, where they can be sped up and fed to a loudspeaker at audible frequencies. What we shall hear on tonight's The Space Show are some of these plasma wave recordings. We must emphasize that if you were aboard Cassini, you would not hear anything. In the same way you cannot hear 88.3 megahertz signal on which The Space Show is broadcast without a radio receiver to convert it into sound, the plasma waves need a computer to convert them into audible sound. When Cassini was on its way to Saturn, it detected radio bursts from X-17 and X-28 class solar flares. Now, flares are very intense bursts of radiation from the sun, and mainly in X-rays and visible light, and some of these were heard by Cassini in 2003. Now, what you hear over just a few seconds at the beginning of this October 28 recording is the quiet hiss of the interplanetary medium. In real time, this lasted 69 minutes. Then the burst arrives, peaking at 30 decibels above the interplanetary background. The frequency drops from 10 megahertz to 50 kilohertz over a 3-hour period. So here we go, plasma wave recording from Cassini. The Type 3 solar radio bursts are produced by electrons that have been accelerated by 100,000 volts. As the energetic electrons from the solar flare move outward from the sun, they excite oscillations in the plasma that surrounds the sun. The plasma oscillations, in turn, generate radio emissions, which then propagate outward from the generation region at the speed of light. That is 300,000 kilometers per second. In 8 minutes, they passed the Earth, and 70 minutes later, they passed Cassini. The drop in frequency you heard has a straightforward explanation. The electron plasma frequency declines rapidly with increasing distance from the sun. Hence, the emission frequency then rapidly decreased as solar flare electrons moved outward from the sun. Rapid, if you call these 3 hours rapid. Now, since the human ear cannot hear 10 megahertz sounds, the sound we played has been shifted downward into the audio frequency range. 10 megahertz was scaled down to 10 kilohertz. Because the space show is only on for 1 hour each week, we have shortened the original 4-hour duration of the recording to just 15 seconds. A week later, on 2003, November the 4th, Cassini recorded another Type 3 solar radio burst. On its way to Saturn, the Cassini spacecraft passed the solar system's largest planet, Jupiter. Now, Jupiter has an enormous magnetic field surrounding it. This interacts with the solar wind particles as they speed by, causing waves in the thin plasma. When the solar particles hit the magnetic field, they form what is termed a bow shock. In some ways, this resembles the waves generated in water by the bow of a boat. Jupiter's bow shock is caused by the supersonic solar wind, traveling at 400 kilometers per second, being diverted around the magnetic field. The shock is a place where the solar wind is heated, slowed, and deflected by the magnetic field surrounding Jupiter. At the time Cassini made this recording in 2000 December, the craft had not yet reached the bow shock, but was able to detect the radio waves reaching its detector. A few days earlier, whilst 23 million kilometres from Jupiter, Cassini recorded this interaction between the solar wind and the Jovian magnetosphere. Now, most of those sounds were below 1 kilohertz in frequency. When, in 2004 June, Cassini approached Saturn, it crossed the ringed planet's bow shock. It was 49 Saturn radii from Saturn. The actual bow shock crossing is indicated by an abrupt burst of electric field noise. This noise is caused by electric currents that flow in the shock. Time on this recording has been compressed from 28 minutes down to 10 seconds. Saturn has an extensive system of rings, which are particles of ice and rock orbiting the gas giant. As it entered orbit in 2004 July, Cassini had to cross the plane of these rings twice. Even though the trajectory was carefully planned to pass through relatively empty gaps in the rings, Cassini did hit numerous tiny specks during the perilous crossings. The impact of these motes of dust caused vibrations in the structure of Cassini's body, which were recorded. First, the inbound ring crossing. And now the outbound ring crossing. Well, Cassini has been in orbit around Saturn now for more than a decade. It has revealed the planet to be a source of intense radio emissions. The radio waves are closely related to the aurorae near the poles of the planet. These aurorae are similar to the Earth's northern and southern lights. Cassini began detecting these radio emissions in 2002 April, when the spacecraft was 374 million kilometres from the planet. The radio and plasma wave instrument has now provided the first high-resolution observations of these emissions. They show an amazing array of variations in frequency and time. The complex radio spectrum, with rising and falling tones, is very similar to Earth's auroral radio emissions. These structures indicate that there are numerous small radio sources moving along magnetic field lines threading the auroral region. The following recording was made in 2003 November, on the 22nd of that month, whilst Cassini was still 7 months away from orbit insertion. The original 27-minute recording has been squashed down to only 73 seconds. Everyone will be familiar with the crackling you hear from earthly electrical storms when listening to amplitude modulated radio, that is AM radio. Saturn has lightning, apparently deep in its atmosphere. This generates strong radio emissions. These radio waves were first discovered by Voyager in 1980. Since arriving in orbit in 2004, Cassini has detected numerous such storms. In 2006 January, Cassini observed one storm over a two-hour period. At its peak, there was a lightning flash every 2 seconds. The two-hour recording has been compressed by a factor of 260 to just 28 seconds. One of the problems in planetary science is judging how long a day is. Simply solved with a rocky or icy body like the Earth, Moon, Mars, Pluto. Pick some prominent surface feature and watch it until it rotates back into the same position. Things are not quite so straightforward with gas giant planets like Jupiter or Saturn. There's no fixed reference point to measure. Now, spacecraft have come to the rescue. In 1980 and 1981, Voyagers 1 and 2 measured radio waves from Saturn. These gave a rotation period of 10 hours and 40 minutes. In 2004, as it approached Saturn, Cassini repeated the Voyager radio experiment. The Cassini scientists expected to refine Voyager's measurements, perhaps by a few seconds at most. To their utter puzzlement, they determined the rotation period was 10 hours, 45 minutes, and 45 seconds, plus or minus 36 seconds. This was 6 minutes, or a whopping 1% longer than Voyager 1 had measured. Why, they asked. They didn't doubt the Voyager result, and such a large planet cannot have slowed its spin in only a quarter of a century. The team came to the conclusion that there must be some slippage between the rotation of the planet's deep core and the magnetic field. This means that the magnetic field is not as rigid as previously believed. Here, then, are the radio bursts from electrical particles trapped in Saturn's rotating atmosphere. Now, that recording was made over 5 Earth days period in 2004 June, capturing 11 rotations of Saturn. Now, Saturn has many moons, most of them small. Several of the larger ones have been extensively studied by Cassini. Now, one of the most surprising ones has been the 500-kilometer diameter Enceladus, and that moon has turned out to have plumes and things, and Cassini is going to fly through the plume of one of the eruptions on Enceladus tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. And it'll be only 50 kilometres above the south pole of Enceladus. So we look forward to that tomorrow, the Cassini spacecraft going through the plume of Enceladus. Now only 2 years away from the end of mission. Well, it's time for us to wrap it up here on the Space Show. We'll be back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.